Today we have come to the last portion of Galatians. We are in verses 14 through 18 of Galatians chapter 6. So this winds up our series. We had a hiatus within the series in which we studied James that fit in with our Cottage Bible Study series in the first quarter of the year. Of course, that had to be cut short as far as our literally meeting together, but the sermon series continued through the end of James, and now we've gotten to the end of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Lord willing, next week, the 31st, we will have a single sermon, sort of a special sermon dealing with the gospel, dealing with the fields being white unto harvest based on Jesus' discussion with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And then with the beginning of the 3 months of summer, July and August, we'll concentrate on Hebrews 11, not Hebrews 11 itself, but the stories that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, the people, those who have lived by faith. So a Living by Faith series beginning in June, the first week of June. So today we have the text, Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Hear God's word, His holy and faithful, perfect, infallible, inerrant word. Hear the word of God. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, we have read and studied this book down to the very end, and we pray that the same Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write it would shine a light on it to our eyes and to our hearts, illuminating what has been inspired and changing us to make us more like Christ, giving you all glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you look at the passage itself, I would point out just a few things. One is, in the first verse, the concentration on boasting. And along with that, the idea that there's an exception to that boasting. May it never be that I would boast, except, or save. As we sing about it, it's the word save. It means accept. Accept in the cross. So the focus, as last week, continues to be the cross of Jesus Christ. That's at the heart of the gospel. His dying for us. His being substituted. His substituting himself. His being the prophet, priest, and king. His being the perfect sacrifice, as well as the high priest. His giving himself in our place, the substitutionary atonement. Accept the cross. You'll notice in verse 15, a rather striking statement. So you have that exception. It's an exclamation point in my mind about the exception. You're welcome to boast in the Lord. It's all the way through Scripture. It's pointed out here. And then in verse 15, it's not religious things you do, even those things that are commanded. It is a new creation. That's an exclamation point. It's different from what you expect in the world. It is what you're taught all the way through Scripture. And I would also go back to that first verse, verse 14, and point out that where it says, may it never be, literally it says that. It's the verb to be, may it not be. But that is, it is so strong a term that you know probably that the King James translators, as they worked on that version, they said, God forbid. This is the same place where they put the words as they understood the force of it. God forbid that I should boast, save in the Christ of Christ my God. And then we get down to the bottom, verse 8. There's the summary of the whole book of Galatians. Galatians, grace. Galatians, grace. Galatians, teaching us of grace. So, let's look at these last few verses. It talks about an old cross, the old rugged cross. It talks about a new creation, and it talks about a double capital punishment. Exclamations. He hits these truths with exclamation points here at the end, and they are exceptions, as you saw there, particularly beginning in verse 14. He finishes it off with great exclamations, and he counsels you on how to be exceptional, different from the world, exceptional in this life. The Apostle Paul finishes off this letter with a summary, with a challenge, or you might call it a charge. Number one, he shows you how to boast and please God at the same time. Number two, he instructs you how to pack your suitcase for heaven. Number three, he identifies your greatest enemy and tells you what to do with him. And number four, he sums up the gospel, the good news, with one glorious word. Galatians is an exceptional book. Galatians is a powerful, it's an explosive book. It's different from other books in the New Testament. It blows away religion. It blows away every and all and each man-made religion. It gives all glory to God. It gives all glory to God alone. Glory to an old rugged cross. Glory to God in a new creation. Glory to God in a double crucifixion in your own experience. And the unearthly, unexpected, heaven-scented and heaven-sent word that turns everything right side up. It turns everything in your life right side up, and that word is grace. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. What a way to end a letter to these churches who had been told they had to do something in order to be saved. What a way to set them up for success and to give them the strength to stand up to these Judaizers who were interested in their becoming Jews, not so much interested in their becoming Christians. And a Judaism without Christ, a Judaism without the Messiah, a Judaism that was by this time a false religion because they would not accept the prophesied Messiah all the way through. And now they're working to make them bound to Old Testament standards that had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is to set them up, these people who would read, and these different churches in Galatia, this area of Galatia, they would read these truths, and they would stand up to the Judaizers and say, no, we will not accept adding anything to the finished work of Christ. Jesus is enough. Jesus is all in all. Jesus is all the world to us. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Nothing is required for salvation except repentance and faith in Jesus. Nothing but falling into the arms of our Savior. Nothing in our hands we bring safely, perfectly, confidently. To thy cross I cling. What a way for Paul to write in majuscule, it says, in large letters, with his own hand, to nail down salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, according to the Bible alone, for the glory of God alone. Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain? For me who Him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that I should be saved by Jesus? Me. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Isn't that the huge impact of the book of Galatians on your life? Will you not go away with that verse you memorized early in our study of this book together? That verse that so impacted Martin Luther in the 1500s as a PowerPoint in the Protestant Reformation? And through his commentary on Galatians, that wonderful book impacted Charles Wesley 200 years later in the 1700s. At the time of the Great Awakening, as he wrote those wonderful God-honoring hymns, and through Charles Wesley's journal, impacted Ruth and my pastor in seminary, Jack Miller, 200 years later in the 1900s, revolutionizing his life and Rosemary's life, and through his preaching and teaching and their life together in front of us, impacted Ruth and me, and hopefully is impacting now you in this third millennium through Galatians 2:20. It was Ruth's mother's personal life verse. If you don't have one, it's a good one I could suggest to you. There are many more, but this is a good one. May you not walk out in a life of service without having this verse in your heart one way or another. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Isn't this a great way for Paul to refer back to the grace of Galatians 2:20, and the grace explained all the way through the book of Galatians. He shows you here at the end how to boast and please God at the same time. Is there any exception to God's law against boasting? Yes. Yes, there is. In fact, we're commanded to do it. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the cross. Boasting in our little selves is always a problem for us creatures. We are so funny. We are so seriously funny, boasting in ourselves in the sight of Almighty God. In 1 Kings 20, Ahab tells Ben-Hadad, who challenged him and made fun of him, he said, "Tell him, let him who girds on his armor not boast like him who takes it off." Boasting is all the way through world history. It's everywhere. In Psalm 75, we read, "I said to the boastful, do not boast, And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. Proverbs 27, the first verse says this, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And you do remember James's, especially since we concentrated this on this in morning worship not long ago, from chapter 4, come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. I tell you, James says, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, your boast in your arrogance, all boasting is evil. Jeremiah 9 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. But, here's the answer, echoed at the end of Galatians. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, says God. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And you probably have memorized Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. So here is Paul wrapping up his fight against these people who are getting the Galatians all stirred up, trying to convince them that they can do something to be saved, and then they would be able to boast about some portion of their salvation, and maybe even the most important portion of their salvation. Because if it were their works that finally filled up the cup so that they would earn their way to heaven, they would be responsible for it. And they would be able to boast against God and boast for themselves. And Paul says, no, it's not works. It's not works. Isn't this a great way for him to end up and say, there is no boasting? For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Verse 13 said, as we considered it last week, but may it never be, God forbid, that I would boast except, there's the exception, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Don't boast that you've been baptized. Don't think that having baptism done to you will get you into heaven in and of itself. Don't boast in your church membership as though your church membership will get you into heaven. Don't boast in joining a certain denomination. Don't boast in your several or maybe many missions trips. Don't boast in your serving hungry people well in this pandemic. Do not boast in yourself. There is no cause for you to boast in yourself. Everything that you have to give, you have been given, and all glory goes to God. May you do many, many, many things. May you do many things in thanksgiving and joy as a result of what Christ has done for you on the cross, in which you boast. But don't preach yourself. Don't boast in yourself. As Paul says, boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ. It is His shed blood on the cross that gets you to heaven. Tied to His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. That whole composite of His dying for you, rising for you, giving you new life. It's his shed blood on the cross that gets you to heaven. How does this exception make you exceptional in this world? Well, just muse on this for a moment before we go to the next point. If you are boasting in the cross, what are you saying about yourself? I boast in myself that I was helpless. I boast about myself that I was a rebel against God, that I was a regicide. I wanted to be king. I wanted to get Jesus off the throne of my life. I did not want him to get on. I wanted Jesus to be killed, to be taken out of my life. I wanted to be the center of attention of my life. I wanted to be sovereign. I didn't want a sovereign. I wanted to look to Jesus and say, he is not my Savior, but... So if you're going to boast for yourself, look at what the gospel says you boast about. But he changed me. All glory to him. He changed me. It is all of grace. He changed me. Is there an exception to God's law against boasting? Yes, boast in the cross. Is there any exception to living a cursed life, walking through this cursed world on your way to a cursed eternity? Yes. He says it here. It is to be born again. That is to repent and believe. You can't bear yourself again. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. He comes in and he works and he changes you. And Jesus taught that to Nicodemus in chapter 3. But you have the commands, repent and believe. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The Spirit blows where he wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it is, where it comes from, or where it is going. So it is of everyone who is born of the Spirit. How do you keep from being cursed with the rest of the world that was cursed in the Garden of Eden? For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. You're created for good works. Even those good works are for the glory of God, by the power of God, by the working of God. How do you get there? Well, he reaches in and gives you a heart of flesh and takes out of your heart of stone, according to Ezekiel 36. Hear the invitations. John the Baptist says, when he started preaching in Matthew 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus says in Matthew 4, as he starts preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark chapter 1, he says, repent and believe in the gospel. In Acts 16, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. There's the good news. There's the gospel. The point of Galatians, salvation by grace through faith. So how do you respond to be an exception in this world? You're going to be exceptional in the way you boast. You'll boast only in the Lord, only in the cross. You're going to be exception in how you handle sins. No cover-up, no denial, no publicity campaign on Facebook or Twitter or on the nightly news to try to convince the world how perfect you are. You're not interested in that. You're interested in the gospel. You're interested in the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How are you going to be different from the world? The world that focuses on itself? In Christ, you'll be very different. Is there any exception to your being bound to yourself in selfishness and pride and isolation and greed and even as a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. Bear the marks of a double crucifixion. Sin is alive in you, and it's eating at you like a tapeworm, sucking the life out of you. But Galatians 6, the end of it tells you what to do. May it never be that I should boast, that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, His crucifixion, the crux of the gospel. The word crux means cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Through which the world has been crucified to me, crux number one for me, and I to the world, crux or cross number two. Separation from the world with its selfishness and pride and isolation and greed. From those self-centered motivations that have entered you, that have grown up in you, who've been part of you since you were a little child. In fact, you didn't have to ingest them, you inherited them. They have been attached to you since your conception. As a tapeworm could have become attached to the wall of your intestine. It is your birthday gift from your grandparents, from Adam and Eve. To get a tapeworm in the world today, you have to drink water or eat meat that has the eggs or the larvae of tapeworms. You didn't get your tapeworm that way, the tapeworm of sin. You didn't have to ingest anything. You were born with selfishness and pride and rebellion and sin. Your tapeworm was part of your original equipment. Is my talking about a tapeworm almost too much to bear? I think it is probably almost too much to bear. This thing that could live 30 years inside your intestine. If a doctor who has had to deal with tapeworms in people on the missions field for many years were to come and to give us a report and describe what he had been through, I think it would be too much for us. And my taking the illustration of a tapeworm and comparing it to your sin that's in you may be almost too much. But I think that if I were to view my indwelling sin the same way heaven views it, the same way the Holy Spirit views it as He indwells me, then I think that this would be a pretty good illustration and that I should get a handle on my sin this way. If someone could pick any one of us, and describe in detail for the rest of us out loud just how selfish and proud and arrogant and self-serving and self-pitying and aloof and false and fickle and proud and Gollum-like any one of us is, we really would not be able to stand it. It would be worse than a description of a physical tapeworm. The person being dissected spiritually wouldn't be able to stand it. And all of us standing around in the dissection theater wouldn't be able to stand it either. We would say, get that thing out. Get it out. Kill it. Stomp it to death. Don't let it hold sway in his life. Don't let it hold sway in her life. Crucify it. Crucify it. As disturbing as the thought of your having a physical tapeworm is, do you realize that that is nothing compared to the horror of facing the sins within you as a saved child of God. When God sees within the people who make up the church of Christ the deeds of the flesh, which are immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and sorcery and enmities and strife and jealousy and outbursts of anger and disputes and dissensions and factions and envyings and drunkenness and carousing and things like these, he says to the Galatians in chapter 5. Paul would say, may these things never be in the church of Jesus Christ. He would say, God forbid that you as a child of God would participate in these things. Concentrate on the following verses dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. But with regard to these things, he would say, pull them out, put them to death, mortify them. The word mort meaning death, deal a death blow to them, crucify them. Oh, may I be crucified to the world. Oh, may this world be crucified to me. Oh, may it stop having such an effect on me. May you and I pray to make me in its image. Oh, may I stop loving the world so much. Oh, may I stop aping it so much. I have met the enemy, and he is me. I have met the enemy, he is I. I have met the enemy, and I am he. I found then the principle that evil is present in me, we say, with Paul in Romans 7. With me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Is there any exception to your being bound to yourself and selfishness and pride and self-isolation and greed? Yes. Yes. Bear the brand marks of a double crucifixion. Follow Paul's example as he explains it to the Galatians. Be crucified to the world. Leave its entanglements behind and crucify the world before the face of Jesus Christ, your judge. Stab it. Slice off its head. Put it out of your misery. And is there any exception to your being worried to death over what happens to you when you die? Yes. Yes, there is. And he nails it at the end, doesn't he? Yes, be bathed in grace. Be separated from sin, separate from the world. Exceptional because he has caught you and he has changed you. But never, 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 never be separated from your union with Christ. Never boast of anything but the cross. Never trust in anything but the cross and the Lord himself who designed the cross for you. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously or freely give us all things? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be separate from the world, be an exception to the way of the world, but never be separated from Christ. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, whatever there is in me, I count not only zero, but I count it loss. It's in the minus column. It's way in the minus column. I count but loss. I count but loss. And I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Doesn't this come from this verse? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save or except in the death of Christ my God. The cross and all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them. I throw them down. I sacrifice them to His blood. As horrible and as the thought of your sins may be, what an unimaginable beauty and freedom and joy are yours as the Lord sets you free. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, as he talks about all those evil things that need to be pulled out and killed. He says, but such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. This book of Galatians is a declaration of dependence upon the effects of the cross of Christ. And the book of Galatians, therefore, is a declaration of freedom. Freedom from sin, death, eternal guilt, and the power of sin in your life. Galatians 2:20, He loved me. He loved you if you're in Christ. He loved, you can say it. He loved me. He gave Himself up for me. So I live for Him. I live by His power. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Live your exceptional life in the light of His grace, and wrap your life up with, thanks be to God who set me free. It was for freedom, Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Let us pray.